We are just blessed to have him with us today to talk about the subject of healing. And it just seemed awesome that he would be the right person to have speak for us today. So welcome, David.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate every time that you ask me to talk. I feel like it's a challenge in a sense, but a positive challenge. It was that I always learn something from this, and so it helps me. I hope it will help other people in things I talk about. And a challenge in a sense. I remember one time a few years ago when I had just given a talk here, and I forget the name of that one, but a few days after that, Connie called and said, well, next month, either she couldn't do it or someone else couldn't. Can I do another chapter next month? And I said, well, okay. What's the name of the chapter? And she said, Jesus on the Christ. So I said to myself, Jesus Christ. I mean, here I'm a good Jewish boy, and she wants me to talk about Jesus and the Christ. So I took the challenge, and I do know a lot more probably about the New Testament than the old one. Which I've learned over time, and so it was a good challenge, and I think it came out okay, and I learned a lot from that. And then I challenged myself, it wasn't last year, maybe the year before, kind of usually gives plenty of time. She gave me 6 or 9 months to do, which she asked if I would do a talk, and I said yes, and then on a Friday morning, I was out on the patio, on my computer, and her email comes in on Friday, as it always does, and it says, this Sunday we'll have our talk, and David Wember will be talking, and I had totally forgotten to put it on my book, so I had 2 days to prepare a talk. So I said to Alyssa, I'm going to be gone a couple of days here, but it was a challenge because I was in the present moment for 2 days, and I think it turned out pretty well. I enjoyed it, and I hope it was a good presentation, which is interesting. And this time around, I had plenty of time to do this, but I said, look, rather than wait, it must have been 6 or 8 months I can do this, because it was the beginning of the year, she kind of yes. And I said, well, I'm going to write down a lot of notes right now beforehand. Let's see if I can write that about healing. You know, a challenge again, here's healing the sick. And there's a lot of people in this group who are science of mind practitioners. And she's asking me to do healing the sick. So that was a little challenge too. But so I wrote down in advance over the next 3 or 4 months, you know, thoughts that came to me. So I'm going to start with that, and then I'll go into the chapter and hope to elucidate some of what Ernest, and I hope I'm saying, I don't want to demean Ernest Holmes, but I always say Ernest because I feel such a close connection with Ernest. So that's okay. I will probably call him Ernest. So I wrote down beforehand over the last few months, you know, when Jesus healed the sick, he didn't see sickness. He looked into their eyes and through their eyes, and he saw their soul development, which is always perfect, going to the light, to oneness. He saw the perfection of who they were, and his belief in their well-being was so strong, his knowing of their well-being was so strong, his vibration of well-being was so strong, that in that milieu only well-being could abound. And so the blind turned to seeing, and the crippled turned to walking. And Jesus said, you're healed by your belief or your faith. So you have to maintain your faith for it to last. That's why Jesus said, go home and tell no one. He knew humans were frail and could easily be talked out of it by their friends or relatives or neighbors. And in a talk I gave last year or the year before, of the one on Jesus and the Christ, I said, can you believe the chutzpah of someone standing in front of a crippled man and telling him to get up and walk and expecting him to get up and walk? Jesus had absolute faith. He was one with his creator. Now, the essence of creating is giving thanks in advance, knowing that your prayers have already been answered. Remember, as Abraham says, ask and it is given. From Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have already received it and it is yours. Then what did Jesus first say when he arrived at the tomb of Lazarus? He said, he didn't say get up and open up, whatever. He said, thank you, Father. You see, in the 4-day journey there, Jesus had been approached several times about Lazarus' death and why Jesus hadn't been there in time. And Jesus always said it would be okay. He had already asked for Lazarus' deliverance and gave thanks in advance. Abraham says, know your own well-being and hold the patient in their well-being. Hold them in the vibration of where you want them to be and where you know they want to be. Segment intent for each patient. Before you see the patient, see them in their well-being, hold them in the vibration of their well-being. So Ernest starts, so that was before I did the chapter. Oh, and once again, the challenge, when Connie talked about this chapter and said she'd send me the book, which had the chapter. Well, we were going to bring it to the Abraham meetup, which was March, and a few days before, everything shut down. So I didn't get the book till a month ago when we had lunch. So there again, it's whatever. That's what happened. But Ernest starts in this chapter by defining who we really are. Quote, our body is a manifestation of supreme spirit. There is perfection at the center of everything, unquote. He says, he quotes from Emerson. He says, we are in the lap of infinite intelligence. One of my favorite quotes from Emerson is, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Now, we are the embodiment of spirit. Our individuality is our part of the infinite oneness. As Ernest says, as complete and perfect in essence as is God. Remember, now, we're both physical and spiritual beings, mostly spiritual, wrapped in our body. Abraham vernacular talks about our inner being, our individual spirit, which is at one with the supreme. And where does our inner being reside? In the heart space. So we don't have to go far to connect to it. We must look within. Ernest says, quote, when in thought, in contemplation, in imagination, in inward feeling, we consciously return to the source of our being, then the divine pattern, which already exists, springs forth into newness of manifestation. When we clear the consciousness of discord, we are automatically healed, unquote. Unity has a saying, quote, look past the appearance of discord or disharmony. Well, let's dissect the paragraph more fully from Ernest. He said, when in thought and contemplation, he's talking about healing the sick now. When in thought and contemplation, this means a focused concentration on the at hand healer-healee relationship. No other thoughts of the past or future can disturb the focused attention. We must be in the generous present moment at one with Source. Then Ernest says, in imagination. Now, this is not a frivolous statement. What does he mean? Remember, Einstein said imagination is everything. It's the prelude to the coming attractions. So imagination is the forward thinking of what's becoming. And what's coming is a match to the undivided attention of your intention of well-being. The good book says, ask and thy shall receive. Ernest said, the universe is like a mirror. It reflects back to the thinker what he thinks into it. So if you're thinking health and well-being, well, that's what's coming back to you. And then Ernest says, in inward feeling, we consciously return to our source and the divine pattern which already exists, springs forth into the newness of manifestation. Well, remember in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein in 6 days. It was done. And it was good. He didn't say there was more to come. It was done. The seventh day was for rest and renewal. All combinations and permutations are already done. You know, electricity wasn't newly made when it was discovered. The principles were already there waiting to be uncovered. Quantum physics was not newly made 100 or so years ago. It was waiting for a mind to turn inward to source, which then downloads the intuition so that the imagination can gather all the cooperative components to bring forth the manifestation. We say all creation is already done. Line up with that which you are one. Ernest didn't invent spiritual mind healing. He gives examples of these principles in many of the religions and spiritual texts. However, it was expounded the most in Christianity through the teachings of Jesus. The science of mind is essentially based on the principle that we are one with our creator. I mean, as we read all of Ernest, essentially we are one with our creator. Now, God is good, and it's the same root. God, good, the same root. And God is perfect. Source is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. And since we are one with God, how do we commune with these powers? Well, Ernest said, the king, quote, the kingdom of God is not some far-off event. It is always at hand, waiting merely to be perceived by the inner spiritual intuition, which is the voice of God operating through mankind. I remember a quote from Emily Cady, the great unity teacher. She said, desire in the heart is always God tapping at the door of your consciousness with his infinite supply. Ernest said, in spiritual mind healing, thought becomes a transmitter for the divine power. Therefore, the thought must always be kept free from confusion. Remember, revelation is 24/7. We must be in the right mindset of vibration to allow it to be revealed to us. We must be one-minded. We must have belief. Belief that when you ask, it is given. Abraham said you cannot manifest outside your belief system. Now, Ernest talked about Jesus sending out his disciples to heal the sick so the people could believe. Jesus said, it is done unto you as you believe. Then he said, go home and tell no one. They're liable to talk you out of it. And belief leads to faith. Jesus said, also, you're healed by your faith. He didn't say, I healed you, or they would have arrested him a long time before. He said, you're healed by your faith. Faith where there's no resistant thought, where clarity prevails, where universal wisdom flows, where inspired thought originates and are downloaded. And as you receive the messages, according to your receptivity. Remember, Ernest said, God gives some more than others because they accept more than others. You accept more because your faith leads to knowing. We coined the term knowful, full of knowing. Knowing that all is well. Knowing that you are loved beyond compare. Knowing the oneness of you and your creator. Knowing the co-creativeness of you with thought. And you surrender to the unity of the universe. And Ernest said, and I quote, the practitioner of this science must have a deep and abiding sense of calm, of peace, and of his or her union with spirit. We must have an unshakable conviction that the spiritual person is perfect, that he or she is one with God, and we must know that in such degree as we realize, sense, or feel this inner perfection, it will appear. The physical healing itself is a result of this inward consciousness. Now, this inward consciousness is in the practitioner. And when the healer believes, then it shall surely manifest. Remember, Jesus was at one with God. He saw the oneness, the wholeness of whom we really are. He lived the mantra of the universe, which is, your wish is my command. And as long as we're at one with God, we too have the power and the omniscience of thought. Remember, as Ernest said, in the very first book that he wrote in 1918, it's a small pamphlet, he said, we are dealing with the very same force that said, let there be light, and there was light. And finally, as Ernest says, quote, the principle of mind operates through our thought, through our faith and conviction, and most effectively through an attitude of love, of compassion. It is impossible to make the highest use of the laws of the mind without basing such use of these laws upon the inward spiritual perception, upon a conscious realization of our union with God. And that perception is in the healer and the healing and in all of us. And at the heart of this chapter is then the wish or expectation that the physician, the psychologist, and the metaphysician will all work together in attending to those in need. And from a download, I thought this was very apropos to everything Ernest it was saying here. From a download that I received many years ago when a Unity minister was having some health challenges. And it says, I'm open and receptive. I'm receiving God's blessing. I'm allowing my innate inheritance of well-being to manifest in me now. Every cell, fiber, tissue, organ of my body radiates with love, life, and spirit. I am one with the wholeness of God. And one last quote from William Osler, the great physician in Johns Hopkins in 1888. He said, the good physician treats the disease, the great physician treats the patient who has the disease. I thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, okay, I'll open for discussion or whatever. You know, it went deep into my heart to talk about this and to learn. You know, Ernest, I'm really kind of an able, right? Because we do able the most. But Ernest is really in my heart. And one of the things I remember in one of the Abraham meetups, we talk about quotes from Abraham, and I quoted something from Holmes. I forget the quotation I said, but I quoted that in that discussion. And then Connie said, you know, either she was there or someone was in the hot seat from the Abraham, was in the hot seat, and said, and asked Abraham, well, what about Ernest Holmes? And she said, he's talking to you now. It brought tears. It took me a while to get away to a tears of eyes. He was talking to her. Because he is one with God, and he's one of the great teachers. And I'm glad that I'm in connection in some way with him. So it's great to come back and do these meetups with you folks.
Thank you so much, David. I love that you call him Ernest. Sometimes I call him Uncle Ernie. I just love Ernest Holmes, and I love what you did with him. And as one of the practitioners in the room today, there's quite a few of us here, I have to say that I appreciate your reminding me what my training was all about and going through so many principles that we practice. And it's so good to be reminded of what we know, because the more often we remind ourselves and each other, the more likely we are to be working and living from that consciousness, which is what we're all trying to do. And although only some of us are licensed as practitioners, many of us are practicing Science of Mind every day. And Ernest said, everyone who practices Science of Mind is a practitioner. They aren't all licensed, but they are all practitioners. So we have a room full of practitioners today, and perhaps some more will choose to practice because of your inspiration, and I am grateful.